It's good to see everyone here this morning on this beautiful, beautiful day. I want to make an announcement. Our deepest sympathy goes out to Yvonne and Vonda and the Graham family. Richard passed away yesterday evening, and so we sure will miss him. He was a good friend to many and a good member of this church for many, many, many years. And I tell you, he's going to be really missed by many. And but we know for sure he's in heaven, and he's right now seeing his friends and seeing Jesus right now. And we know that. And I know that one day, if we'll get to see him again, and that's something to look forward to. All of our friends and family that have gone on before us, that I know that one day, I'm confident in that, that one day we'll get to see him again and enjoy the riches of heaven that's been set aside for us. Amen? And so even though we mourn and it's sad, you know, and it's hard, but yet we rejoice because heaven got a new member, and that's something to rejoice about. And no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, and that is our hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen? And but so glad you're all here. I know there are several people that are sick, have been sick, and you know, we just need to pray for those families. I've talked with several people. I know that my brother and his family have been sick. My brother has COVID. I know that I have a cousin of mine that she's really sick, and so. Just keep praying for those that have been down. I know Carolyn was sick for a while, and we hope that she gets better. We know that Leonard's been down, and Connie, and we know that they're here this morning and feeling pretty good. And so I know that God is still blessing us and still moving and healing. And so, but again, this is such a beautiful day out here today for November. Amen? Beautiful day. God has just blessed us so many Sundays with good weather to be able to come together and praise and worship him. And if you'll notice right down here, Jessie's not able to be here because she's not feeling good. So we need to pray for her. So I'm doing the announcements this morning. And if you'll see these shoe boxes down here, these are our Christmas boxes. And you know, we've done this every year for several years. And so we have to have them turned in by next week. So if you want to get a shoebox and fill it, we'll send it to little kids overseas. And it's a really good ministry. You can stuff one of these shoeboxes and bless some kid somewhere to have a great Christmas. And don't forget that. Am I missing anything? Miranda's not here this morning, but it's Miranda's birthday. 12th. Birthday, she's 12. Is that right, Miranda? Right. She's 13. 15. I'm sorry. She is 15. I was like, I kept looking at that, thinking I ain't right. But no, she's 15. We look at her as she's 12, though. That's what happens. I always look at my daughter still today. She's 20. I still look at her like she's, you know, like my little girl sitting in a pumpkin seat, you know. That's the way I see her. But anyway, Veterans Day is coming up, so if you see somebody who served, thank them. Thank them for their sacrifice. Thank them for what? If you see somebody who's still serving today, thank them for the sacrifices that they give, their time to our country. Sunday school, remember that we are having Sunday school for the kids. On Sunday mornings, Bible quizzing still going. We do have Friday night Bible study at 6:30. Been going really good. I encourage you, join in. If you want to come to the fellowship hall, I usually come to the fellowship hall. I'll be here with you in person during our, we still Zoom, but yet I'll be available here. Wednesday nights, we've been having good services on Wednesday nights. Good worship. I tell you, it's been really good. So, and we've been doing it inside. So come and be with us. Am I missing anything? Oh, because of we may have the funeral here at the church. Thursday visitations and Friday funeral. I don't know that that's 100%. So listen, I'm just saying that was what was talked about. If there is a service visitation on Thursday night, our board meeting will be postponed. And we'll just continue. We'll have our board meeting on in December, which we usually don't have a board meeting in December, but we'll have our next board meeting December. So remember that. And if we don't have it on Thursday, our board meeting will be Thursday. So anyway, church office will be closed Wednesday, November 11th, in observation of Veterans Day. And I believe that's all. If I've missed something, read your bulletins. Hopefully I didn't miss anything. But again, it's so glad to see everyone here on this beautiful day. And we're just going to praise and worship the Lord this morning.
I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadows or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting from harm in His sheltering arms. I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Though tempest might blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I've never alarmed at the overcast skies. Look on at my side. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. Safe from all harm in His sheltering arms.
Amen.
I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. I know that He safely will carry me through, no matter what evils may hide. Why should I then care though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side? Living by Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. Free from all harm in His sheltering arm. I'm living by faith and feel no earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then are pure. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore.
Amen.
I'm living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, sheltering arm.
Amen.
I'm living by faith and feel no alarm.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He came at the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling, with joy I am telling, He made all the darkness depart.
Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Is great this morning. It's blowing my pages all around. And together, lovely, all together, worthy.
Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Amen. We just thank you this morning, Lord. Lord, we know that you are the Creator. You're the all-powerful Creator, Lord. You bring strength and comfort to us, Lord, and we believe in that. And so, Lord, we just want to honor you today. Lord, we come here to honor and worship you. So let our words be heard this morning. Let these songs be heard. Let them be pleasant to your ears. Lord, we humble ourselves to you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you.
He is jealous for me, loves like a hurricane. I'm in a tree, bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by his glory, I realize how beautiful you are, how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. Our pride, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. Grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. And heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart beats so violently inside my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets. When I think about the way that he loves us, oh, how he loves us so, oh, how he loves us.
Loves you so much. He loves me so much. Amen. Amen. Well, we've got a special singer this morning, and it's good to hear Jada sing. So she's going to sing a song for us this morning. It's so good to have her come and sing for us. Amen. Thank you.
that don't bless you, something's wrong with you. Amen. I tell you, I love it when young people want to get involved in the church, and I encourage that. We should encourage. That's how we learn and we grow and we become, you know, more Christ-like, you know. I just love it. And, boy, I just that was such a super, super good song, Jada. Great, great, great song. Great song. Good job, young lady. Good job. I tell you, we got some talented young people in this church. We really do. And God has blessed us very much. And if you have your Bibles this morning, if I can keep the wind under control, that, amen. That, you know, our we have a calling, and anybody that has become a Christian, anybody that's become a new believer in Jesus Christ has a calling put upon their life. And I know many really don't think of that. Many don't consider that they actually have a calling. Here, let me turn my lapel on. That way you can hear it on the radio. I'm sorry. But in John 15 and verse 16, it says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit." So we have a calling to bring forth fruit. That's our calling. And so when I think of church, when I think of my life, my calling is here to be a pastor, right? But my calling is to bring forth fruit. And what is that? I'm to be fruitful. I'm to be the disciple. I am to bring the gospel to the world. And, you know, sometimes we get in what's called spiritual fatigue. You know, I've been there. I've been in a place of complacency before in my spiritual life. And I had to come to an understanding when it was revealed. I would become convicted over it. And I had to go and repent for my complacency because I had lost a little bit of my spiritual fervor. I wasn't zealous like I was when I first got saved. And that's the thing we can never forget. Because Christ did a mighty work inside you. He did a mighty work inside me when He put His Holy Spirit within us. And I remember that day, and I talk about it a lot because I'm always going to share my testimony. I'm always going to talk about that day that God saved me. Because it's a special moment in my life. It's the moment in my life where everything changed. I became a new creation. But my calling at that time began. And I have to become fruitful. He says, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." Man, that's powerful words, isn't it? I chose you and I ordained you. Man, it's Him that does the ordaining. And He said, "Now go and bring forth fruit." That's what He asked us to do. And I say, you know, we have to be spiritually fruitful. You know, so the secret of bearing fruit with souls and in family is we have to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. We have to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. We have to be in the presence of His holiness. And how do we do that? It's simple, right here. When you open up your Bible and you start reading, you're in the presence of the Almighty, because in John, right here, in John, in the first chapter, He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God." Amen? So that means every time you open up your Bible, you're bringing Jesus into your life. Every word you read, you're bringing Jesus into your life, and you're getting into the presence of the Holy Spirit. The goal of being in His presence is to become like Jesus. And that's our goal. We want to become like Jesus. You know, when I've said this before, when I look in the mirror, I don't want to see my reflection. I want to see His reflection in the mirror. Because the closer I get to Him, the more I look like Jesus. When I talk to people in this community, when people see me, I don't want them to see me for who I am, a sinner, saved by grace. I want them to see Jesus working in me in my life and see the changes that I've made in my life. And I'm not that guy that used to be, because I'm a new creation. I'm a new creature now. I am like Jesus. We have to have the likeness of Jesus in our lives. That's what He requires. That's what He wants from us. The more you abide in Him, the more you become like Him. And the more you become like Him, the more you will bear fruit like Him. That's what Jesus did. In John 15, here it says again, verse 1 through 5. I'm going to read this. I'm going to have to duck take my pages down. It says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. If you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you, remain in me, I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So we have to remain in the word. We have to put ourselves into the word. We have to just become more like Him. In order to become more like Him, that means we need to abide in Him. And the more we abide in Him, the more He abides in us. We see there in verse 2 is bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. We have three things there we can look at. And the reason why some people do not bear fruit like Jesus is because they have not become like Jesus. They don't try to become like Jesus. Because the more you become like Jesus, the progression of bearing fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. That's what happens. The person who becomes like Jesus is more motivated. Their motivation is because He's living inside you. Jesus was motivated to do what He did. He didn't walk around on this earth with a frown on His face. No matter what happened, He had a smile on His face. He had a mission. He was bearing fruit. When you become more like Jesus, you will witness and win souls more like Jesus. And when you become more like Jesus, you will make disciples like Jesus. When you become more like Jesus, you'll pray like Jesus did. When you become more like Jesus, you will talk more like Jesus did. When you become more like Jesus, you will treat people like Jesus did. Amen? That is why the disciples were soul winners. That's why they were so productive. That's why, because they had Jesus within them. They sought Him. Their whole life was absorbed in following Jesus. They were disciple makers because Jesus was a soul winner and a disciple maker. That's who He was. You know, God the Father had only one Son, and He was a soul winner. And Jesus is saying, that's what I want you to do. That's what I want you to do. You might ask, how do I enter into His presence? And I'm going to tell you right now, prayer brings the presence of God. Prayer brings the presence of God. When you get on your knees before Him, whenever you humble yourself, whenever you lift your voice up to Him and you cry out, Abba Father, guess what? You're getting into the presence of God Almighty. That brings the presence of Him. I know it seems awkward sometimes, but even on Wednesday night, we had a prayer moment Wednesday night where we had some young people at the altar. And I said, you know, it feels awkward sometimes to just not say anything. It's kind of awkward. But yet, that's when we can listen and hear that small, still voice of the Father. When we just tune out everything else on that's going on down here in our lives, and we just focus completely upon Him. And when we lift our eyes to the Savior, He'll pour out His Spirit upon you. Man, I need that infilling, not just one time in my life, not just every now and then. I need it every day. I want to feel the presence of God in my life every day. Not just on Sunday, not just every now and then when somebody says a good prayer, but I want it every day. And how do I do that? I get into the Word, and I read, and I get on my knees, and I pray. I'm always in communion with the Father. Why? Because I want to be like Him. I want to be like Him. I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. There's power in the Word. There's power in the Word. Why? Because the Word is Jesus. There was power in Jesus. And why do we need to abide in His Word? We need to abide in His Word so we can bear fruit. Because we experience a renewing of the mind when we accept God's Word. Whenever we read and we accept His Word into our life, we are renewing our minds. Just like I said before, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word renews what we believe. It establishes our traditions. It establishes what we believe. It sets a strong standard for us. And we stick to it. This world today that we live in, I'm telling you what, it wants to obscure the standards of God. It wants to bend the rules a little bit. But when we read the Word, there's no bending of the rules, right? It is what it is. You know, when James said, don't be just hearers of the Word, and we have a lot of hearers. We have a lot of people that come to church and hear the Word, but yet they're not doers of the Word. They don't want to do what it says. They want to hear what it says, but not do what it says. They want to use their own opinion. But let me tell you, right now, what's going on in this country today, I'm going to tell you this right off. We're going to have to stand up as a church, and we're going to have to be strong, and we're going to have to be not just hearers of the Word, but we're going to have to be doers of the Word and stay strong in it no matter what. Amen? I'm telling you. More now than ever. More now than ever in my lifetime am I seeing a change that it's going to be tough for the church because we're going to have to stand strong on what we believe. And how do we know what we believe? By reading the Word. Because the Word tells us, Jesus says, do what I commanded you to do, you'll be my friend. It says that right there in John chapter 15. The Word renews what we believe. It determines what you do in life. It should. It should always determine what you do. What you do determines how you will feel when you have situations that go on in your life. The renewing of your mind changes your identity. Amen? It changes who you are. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's living in you and you're becoming more like Jesus. The Word is working in your life. You're not you anymore. You're more like Jesus now. Your identity determines your destiny. Amen? Your identity will determine your destiny, and it also will determine your lifestyle. Now hear me. This world wants to, again, obscure what a traditional lifestyle is, biblical lifestyle. But I'm telling you, when you read the Word, it will tell you what your identity is. It will. It will reveal to you who you are and who you need to be, and that is like Jesus. It's from your identity that you derive your image of who you are. That's you know, who you are, who I am. Who am I? I'm a Christian. Well, what's that mean? What image are you projecting? I know I go, this is a Nazarene church, but it's not, it goes beyond that. If you're a Christian, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, then you have an identity. And if you claim to be a Christian, then there must be an identity right there. And you need to define what that identity is. How do you do that? You do that in the Word. You read what Jesus said to do. James said, don't be just hearers of the word, be doers of the word. What you see in the mirror is what people see in the mirror in you. Amen. You know who you are. You know who you are. If you think you're a thug, then you'll carry the image of a thug. Amen. If you think you're a sad, unappreciated person, then you will carry that image of a sad and unappreciated person. If you think you're ugly and you carry that image of being ugly, so many people fall into that. If you think you're, you know, so many things you could go on. However, if you think what God thinks about you, you will act like Jesus acted. Because let me tell you, the Father wants you to act like Jesus. You act like Jesus and you become like Jesus. That's what you think you are. You get what I'm saying this morning? If you start believing you're special, you will carry that image that you're special, and you are special because God has chosen you and He's ordained you. Amen? Man, you're special. I'm special. In many ways, I'm special. Amen? Depends on what definition you want to look at. It depends on who you ask. You ask my wife, she might give you a different definition of what special is. But what God tells me is that I'm special. And He said, I'm going to use you no matter what. I may not be a theologian. I may not be the smartest guy there is. I could think of a lot of things where I'm undeserving, but God works in my life and He gives me what I need, and He allows me to help. He helps me in every way. He does. And he'll do you the same way if you just trust in Him. That's what God thinks about it. If you start believing you're special, you will carry that image. And if you start believing you're a disciple of Jesus, you'll start living like a disciple of Jesus. If you start believing in God's word, you'll start living God's word. That's what's most important right there. If you believe it, then you'll live it. And your life will show it. You know, this word, restore, we have three things here we can look at. Restore, mistaken, and identity theft. That's what happens. We have the devil that wants to take your identity away. And he does so many people. He gets you to a place of spiritual sickness again, or spiritual complacency. And all he's trying to do is steal your identity. And God's saying, hey, remember me. Remember what the word says. Remember what I told you. I'll never leave you, forsake you. Remember that. I've chosen you. Remember that. Remember that. You'll do greater things than I ever did. That's what he told his disciples. Man, those are powerful words. Those are to somebody who's special. When you start believing and becoming more like Christ, it breaks and destroys that low self-esteem, because you would come to know that you really are who he says you are. And when you know, you'll grow. And when you show, it will show, right? I kind of said that wrong. When you know, you'll grow, and it will show. Amen. It'll show. When we look at verse 7 there of chapter 15, it says that when you abide in His word, you'll be able to pray, and it will be done for you. Why is that? Why is that? Because you're more like Jesus, and whenever Jesus asked of the Father, it happened. I know sometimes we pray for things that we want to happen, and And I say, I'll tell you this, you know, sometimes, just like Paul said, we see through a glass darkly. We see through an obscured glass, and we don't understand everything down here on earth. But he does, and we pray. He sees what we need. He supplies our needs, not our wants. I mean, I'd really like to have a new car. I'd like to have a new car. I could pray about that. It may not be the want. That is a want. But it may not be the need right now. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about spiritual stuff. When you have God's word in you, it will take root in your heart, and it will produce faith to believe his promise. That's what I'm trying to say. That faith to believe in his promise that no matter what happens, no matter who gets elected president, it doesn't really matter because God allowed that to happen. He put that person there for a reason. We may not understand it, but let me tell you something. God knows, and all things work for the good of him, of those who trust him. We got to put our faith in him, our creator. You know, I talk about this a lot, and every week I want to call the church to read the Bible. I ask you a lot, read your Bible. Get into the Word. Study the Word. Read it together. Read it by yourself, but read the Bible. The Bible produces passion. A passion of his love. It'll create a passion of his love within you. When you become more like Jesus, you become love. Because Jesus was love. Love is born in your heart when you abide in him. Let me ask you, what's your husband or wife or your family? What's your friends? What do they say? What do they say about you? How do they see you? Do they see Christ in you? Are you growing more patient and kind and unselfish? Because that's the carnal nature. But the more you abide in him, the more he abides in you, and the more of that other stuff goes away because you're becoming more filled with his holy presence in your life. All that other stuff starts to go away, and you become more like him. I haven't always been that way. I'm not a perfect person. I'm an imperfect person living in an imperfect world trying to get to a perfect heaven. Amen. I believe in a perfect Savior. He's promised me something. I believe in that. Sometimes people blame. They make up all kinds of excuses instead of looking at their own life. And out of your own life shall come forth ministries. I'm telling you, that's the life in Jesus Christ. What ministry are you? Let me ask you this. It comes down to this. You're either one or two ministries. You're either preaching worldly ministry, or you're preaching Christ-like heavenly ministry. You're either one or the other. You're either hot or cold. Jesus called out the Laodicean church, he said, you're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm. And he said, I spew you out of my mouth because you make me sick, because you're straddling the fence, basically. You're trying to live in the world and yet living for me, and you can't do that. I would rather you be completely cold than to be in the middle. So what ministry are you? And I want to ask you this morning. Those that know you better than anyone else, those closest to your heart, Do they see you differently than what the rest of the world sees? Do they see you differently? What does your family say about you? Are you greedy and full of good, or full of goodness? Are you rude? Are you real? Are you loving? Are you prideful? Are you long-suffering? Or do you make them suffer? Because let me tell you something. I've been all of those things at one time. And it seems like your family is the one that gets it first. So I have to absorb myself in the Word. I have to absorb myself. I have to get closer. I have to abide in Him so that I can become more like Him. And when I become more like Him, then all that stuff disappears. And I'm not that person. But I am that person without Him. I'm that person without Jesus. But with Jesus in my life, I'm not that person. Amen. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. Again, we're all imperfect people serving a perfect God in an imperfect world trying to get to a perfect place. Amen. John 17:21 says that they may all be one, this unity. We come together here in this parking lot or in the sanctuary, no matter where you're at, in your own home, whether you're at Walmart, no matter where you're at, it doesn't matter. You come, you know, He says, where two or three are gathered together, I'll be there in the midst. We have to remember that Jesus will be with you no matter where you're at. Even as you, Father, are in Me and I in you. This is verse 21. He said, Father, and you are in Me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent Me. He wants us to be united together. When we become one, the glory falls, let me tell you. When you come together and you unite together and you become one in the body of Christ, that's when things start to happen. Look at the day of Pentecost. Let me tell you something. Things happen. And I pray that the glory falls. I pray the glory falls, but it's not going to do that unless we come together. It'll never do that unless we become one. And how do we do that? By abiding in Him, and He abides in us. And we abide in Him, then we become united in one body. Amen. Serving. There's so much of a spirit of division in this world today. And I pray that it never affects this church. Ever. I pray that away. Sharing the love of Christ to those who don't have salvation. That is what it means to be fruitful. I want to see the church filled and overflowing with people. I want to see that. I want to see this parking lot so full that we have to set speakers up on the other side. I don't care. I want people to come. And why? Because I want them to hear the Word. Because if they don't hear the Word, then Jesus starts to work in their life when they hear the Word. It's His Word. It's His Spirit that starts working in somebody's life. Prevenient grace starts to take effect, right? Amen? I want that. Why? I'm interested in whatever Jesus is interested in. And what's that? Saving souls. He said, I want my house to be filled. Why? That's why He left us here. That's why He gave us a purpose. He said, be fruitful. You know, some people say, well, it's not all about numbers. Well, that is. It really is. I'm going to tell you that. They even wrote a book. It's in the Bible. It's called Numbers. He wants us to be like Him. You know, I want to say this. if everyone that's here today would just bring one person to church. That's all you got to do. Sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? Really, think about it. All you have to do is invite one person and bring one person to church. That's my challenge to you. Bring one person to church. That's all you have to do. You do that and we've doubled our congregation. Doubled. If there's 70 here, we have 140 next Sunday. Amen? That'd be awesome. All you have to do is bring one person. That's it. One person. Somebody that needs to hear the word. Somebody that needs Jesus in their life. Why? Because that's what Jesus would do. That's what he would do. If we were to ask him, why aren't our churches full today? What would he say? Well, who did you invite to church? Who did you bring with you? Who did you witness to this week? Who did you tell them about me this week? Who? That's what he would say. Amen. That's what he said. Why? Because that's what his word says. Acts 2:41 tells us how many got saved. Acts 1:15 tells us that there were 120 disciples. And the shepherds counted 100 and there was one missing. So Jesus went after the one that was missing. Amen. There was numbers in the Bible. Let me ask you this morning. Is the salvation and eternal destiny of souls any less important to you than it was to Jesus? Because it was priority for him. The eternal destination of people was his main priority. And if we're to become like Jesus, then that should be what's important to us. There's so many people in this community. There's so many people that we meet every day. Every day we meet somebody. We meet somebody every day that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And they're not going to make it to heaven. And that hurts me to know that. Love draws people like a powerful magnet, and the lack of love drives people away. I will say, this church is such a loving church. I've heard many, many people talk about how they felt so welcomed and so loved by many people. I think the most overlooked key to growing a church is we must love unbelievers the way Jesus did. The biggest advertisement that this church will ever have and ever have in a changed life is people that get saved. Jesus was called a friend of sinners in Luke 7:34. Jesus accepted without having to approve their sinful behavior. He did. You know, this church is a hospital for people who are sin sick. Not a sanctuary for saints. Without a loving passion for the lost, we'll never be willing to make the sacrifices necessary to reach him, to reach them. In order to grow a church, then we have to become more like Jesus. And when we become more like Jesus, then we'll see a churches grow. Our churches across America have been in decline for many years, and statistics show that. You don't have to look very far. You can go to many places and you can look at the statistics. They're drawn to a church that bend or obscure the scripture, but yet the ones who really stick to their traditions and believe what the Bible really says are shrinking. We have to be like Jesus. Some churches are good at loving each other, but not loving newcomers or loving others. Why? I think it's out of fear. It's out of fear. We have to start by being nice. I think the reason why a lot of churches don't have big crowds in their churches is because they really don't want one. It'll disturb their comfortable routine of things. Come on, I'm speaking the truth this morning. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just speaking the truth because I'm speaking what the Word says. I'm not speaking what Randy says. I'm speaking what I've read in the Scripture. This is what Jesus says. Jesus loved people by meeting their needs. And Jesus did not say, clean up your act and then I'll save you. He didn't say that. He loved you even before He changed you. We want to be a sanctified people. You want to live a life of sanctification. You want to live a life of that, then you have to first be saved. And I want to ask you this morning, what's people's biggest need here in Anna? What's people's biggest need right here in Anna, right here in this community? They need a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's really what it is. Sometimes our love gets cold. Things like this pandemic, things like this stuff going on, things like the election, things like all this stuff, all this, and I call it garbage because that's really what it is a lot of times. We get so caught up in it, and it aggravates us and makes us, but really the true purpose is of the church. We need to come together as one, and we need to just focus on being fruitful. We need to focus on what we were called to do. Because you know all this stuff going on in the world is just going to keep going on. It's just going to keep going on. And one of these days, Jesus is going to come back. He's going to open up the eastern sky, and He's going to come back, and He's going to take His saints home. Amen? He's going to do that one of these days. And it's our job to gather as many as we can. The Scripture says in James, He says to snatch them out of the fire. We got to snatch people from the fire. We can never forget the cross. I want to leave you with this morning. We can never forget the cross. Never forget the cross. Begin to abide in His presence and the power of His Word. And let His penetrating love overwhelm your life. Because that's what it is. It's a love beyond any measure. It's a love beyond any human understanding. It's a penetrating love that moves completely through your whole being, body, soul, and spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Abide in Him today. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word, Lord. I thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. Lord, we We humble ourselves to you. We want to abide in you today. Renew our minds. Lord, let us be overwhelmed by your love. Let us be fruitful. As from the beginning, you said, go be fruitful and multiply. So it is, we were called to do that physically. You call us to do that spiritually. Be fruitful and multiply. Let us be encouraged. Let us be set on fire by your Holy Spirit, that we can grow your kingdom, Lord, through you, through your Spirit, through your grace. Never forgetting the sacrifice that you gave. May this church be filled to overflowing. May this community hear the love that you have and come to understand. I praise you. I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Thank you all. I hope you have a wonderful day, a wonderful week. God bless you all. Remember Wednesday nights and Friday nights. Amen.